Today is going to be another week with a message that's not so traditional, maybe not even a message at all. It's more information than anything. So again, I ask for your understanding this morning as we begin to unpack this new member series and understand what that means to us as a church. I received some feedback from several people throughout the week that said that they didn't quite understand what I was trying to communicate last week. And when I look back, I realized that maybe I didn't do as good a job as I should have at communicating the idea as a whole, especially considering that a lot of you were hearing some of the things that I had to say for the very first time. And maybe I didn't quite take that into consideration in a way that I should. So I apologize, and I hope that I can correct that today so that, you know, the objective is to give, you know, everyone the same overview, you know, so everybody understands the vision the same way and that we can move forward as a result. You know, I don't want there to be a bunch of confusion about goals or intentions. So first of all, I want you to understand this, and that is from this day forward, we're going to require this new member class before a person is presented to the church as a member. Now, next quarter, I'll begin to offer that class, as I told you about last week. It'll be about a three-hour class, and it's going to cover, you know, four different areas. And it'll be directly after Sunday services, as I said, about 3 hours long. So what we're going to do is provide lunch for whoever happens to be taking that class so that it's not a huge inconvenience. You know, all of the research that I've done says that, you know, if you spread that out over multiple weeks, that you tend to lose people and they don't want to complete it. They want to do everything all at once so that they can move forward. So that's what we're looking at. As I said last week, the first class is going to be done from the pulpit. So understand that this series of messages that I'm going to be doing, this is the second week of probably what's going to be 6 weeks, will be all of the information that's in that new member class, as well as a lot of additional information. So please understand that. You know, I guess I want everybody to understand the hows and whys of what I'm leading you to. I can't expect you to make informed decisions if you don't understand what's going on. So hopefully we're all on the same page so far. Now, let me back up a minute. Basically, what I'm trying to do with all of this stuff is to communicate to all of you what you're jumping into before you jump, if that makes sense. This is going to enable everybody to kind of make an informed decision about whether or not they want to actually be a part of what we do here at Coshocton Baptist Church before jumping in and finding out that it's not what they thought it was. I want to give you a little bit of an example of what I'm talking about. We have, and we've talked about this before, we have over 250 members at this church. Over 250 members. And even if you're horrible at math, you can see that about 70%, at least 70% of our membership is not here. They're not here on a regular basis. And that's probably being pretty generous with the math. So that tells me that maybe we're doing something wrong in the process. And that's what I want to correct. So if we're going to communicate to potential members what membership looks like, then basically two things need to happen. The first is this. Membership needs to be clearly defined. I can't tell you what membership looks like if it's never been defined, right? That just makes sense. Not defining just leaves it to the imagination. It leaves it to the individual imagination. And that's kind of where we are right now. So, you know, if I were to come to each one of you and ask you to define what it means to be a member at CBC, what that looks like to you, I would guarantee that very few of you would tell me the same thing. Might be a couple that were the same, but not many. And that's because it hasn't been clearly defined or communicated. You know, every one of us has kind of our unique, you know, our own unique perspective of what it means to us personally to be a member. And that results in confusion about expectations. That confusion leads to a lack of unity because we don't understand what others might be doing. We don't understand why they do the things we do. It seems like common sense to one person may not be to someone else, and vice versa. Everybody has a different idea of what it looks like. And for these reasons, we need to give membership an identity. And it starts with adding two essential things. And we talked about them a little last week. And those two things are vision and expectations. So let's talk about vision. Last week I used a scripture from Exodus 32 to illustrate the need for a clear vision. So please understand that the vision we hold has to be one that goes full circle, so to speak. It has to include a clear discipleship process. In other words, it has to be clear how an unsaved person can walk through our doors and go from being unsaved to being a productive member of the body of Christ. And it has to be clear to each of us what part we play in that. This is something that, you know, not only has to be visible to new people, but it has to be well understood by all of us who are already members. So, what about expectations? To be honest, we're very lacking in the expectations department. Without expectations, we have chaos. You know, and we can learn from the letters that were written to the church at Corinth that God desires order in the church. And you'll find when we get to the core values section of this membership class that I'm going to say things that might not be very popular. In fact, some of the folks at the leadership meeting got to hear those things. I said things like, as a member, you're expected to come to church. All of it. Not just the part you choose. You're expected to come on time. You're expected to be in Sunday school. You're expected to become involved with one of those small serving groups that are going to begin to develop. You're expected to be involved with at least one ministry a year. These are reasonable expectations for membership. They're definitely going to be things that we want to look at when we consider a person for a position of leadership. Without fulfilling these simple expectations, we are never going to be able to live out the mission statement that I presented to you. So how can I make bold statements like this? I want to give you one of many examples in Scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. And it's something we've looked at here recently. It says this, "For the body is one and has many members. But all of the members of that body, being many, are one. So also is Christ. For if by the Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one, but many members." So I think you've all recognized by now I'm a logical thinker. So I want to use logic when looking at this scripture. I'm a right-handed person. I use my right hand predominantly. Let's say that I'm in an accident and my right hand is severed, completely taken off. At the scene of the accident, the emergency responders do everything necessary to preserve my hand. It's fine, all except for the fact that it's not attached to my arm. Is that hand still part of me? Well, technically, it's mine, but it's not a part of my body. So I can't use it, right? It's not useful to me when it's detached. Will I still function? Yeah, I'll still function. But I won't function as well as I would have without my hand. Right? You know, the church, as the body of Christ, is no different. All of you are a necessary part of a whole. And if you're not here, it's impossible to function as that part. That's just common sense. Secondly, we have to be practicing what we're communicating to new members. If we communicate to possible members our expectations, but we're not doing those things that we're communicating to them, how does that make us look? It makes us look like hypocrites, basically, right? It doesn't do us any good to define membership to new members if we're not already practicing the things we tell them. That's why I feel it's so important that I bring this message series for, you know, to all of you, for all of you to hear in advance. I know bringing it from the pulpit may be kind of weird and different and not what you're used to, and it seems strange. But this way, like I said earlier, all of us are hearing the same thing, and we can decide for ourselves what we think of the series, because we're all hearing the same thing and there's no confusion or no mix-up as to whether or not this is what was said or that was what was said. It's all together in one spot being presented to you. Well, one of the questions that I've been asked a lot recently is, what if people don't respond to all this new stuff? Someone else said that they didn't like the idea of changing everything. You know, they said that they felt change was necessary, but we were changing everything and it was just too much. And we needed to start simpler. So I've heard all kinds of different theories, and some of them from multiple people. But I need you to understand this at this point. I don't have a plan B. God hasn't communicated to me a plan B. And if as a group, you all refuse to respond to the vision that I've been trying to cast, I don't have something different, you know, in my back pocket to pull out and move forward. I don't have that. So please understand that this is the direction that God's been leading me, and in turn, it's the direction I'm leading you. I want to tell you all something that I communicated recently at the leadership meeting. You know, almost a year and a half ago now, all of you prayed and you decided that God was leading you to put me in a position to lead this church. To lead this church, not to push the church, not to pull the church, not to please the church, and certainly not to make people feel good about themselves, but to follow God and lead this church to where He wants it. If you haven't figured out by now, I'm just not one of those people that's okay with maintaining status quo or coddling feelings, and I never will be. That's just not me. What you see is what you get. But I want you to understand something else. I'm not here to force anything on this body of believers, not one single thing. I understand that things don't work that way in an independent church. You do have a choice. I understand that this church is governed solely by its membership, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not here, again, to push or to pull or to drag or to cause division. That's not my point. And if this group at any time, you feel that this isn't the direction that you want to go, then y'all need to be organized enough to come together and tell me that. And don't be afraid. You know, I promise that I wouldn't hold any hard feelings, none whatsoever. You know, so if you think I'm out in left field somewhere with everything you've been hearing, just say so. It's very simple. I'd be glad to let you go another way. And in fact, I appreciate honesty. I appreciate folks being honest about where you are. But don't secretly think that you'll just wait it out and win that war of attrition. You know, we tend to use this tactic, the idea that if we just don't do anything and ignore it, it'll go away. We just smile and stubbornly wait. Maybe you prefer that method of, I don't really care what you think, I just do what I want. Maybe that's your method. Please understand, those are unnecessary methods, and they're not healthy for anyone. Honesty is always best. But you know, if as a group that isn't your heart, and you truly want to see this direction become a reality for this church, then you have to be ready to move. Be ready to embrace different ideas. Because you know, how is that said that that's the definition of insanity, is to do the same thing and expect different results? You can't do the same thing and expect better results. You know, you can't just, as a group, stiffen up when new ideas come along that require something different from you. If you truly want to move forward, things are going to have to be different. And you have to be willing to accept that. Last week, I gave you a copy of those core values. They were attached to the mission statement. And I hope all of you have taken the time to look at those and read over those and pray about those. And also, I have to tell you again that we're going to have a business meeting directly after service. And I'm going to force this group to come together and talk about whether you really want to move forward in the direction that I've been leading. You either want to or you don't. So if you're one of those folks that normally just gets up and leaves for the business meeting, you may want to reconsider that today. If you don't, please understand that you have no right to complain, no right to voice your opinion about what you don't like, if you don't stay and help make decisions as a member.
Amen.
Now that we have that out of the way, I want to begin to move forward a little bit and look at this mission statement a little closer. And I want to try to eliminate any confusion about what it means, and also talk about our goals and how we'll measure success with this new mission statement. I want to start out by reading it. Connect, grow, serve. Our mission at CBC is to show people how to connect with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then help them to grow in their relationship with Christ as well as their relationship with others, then teach them how to serve God through service to others. Now, if you've been here any length of time, I'm sure you've heard me talk about numbers. How many people are here, how many members we have, etc. You just heard that. So, I want you to understand that my mind works well with numbers. So that's just how I'm wired. And I've said before that numbers are excellent indicators. They're not the begin-all, end-all of everything. But I do use numbers. But I don't use numbers to judge success. How many people are here on a Sunday morning is not how I judge success. But I do use those numbers as an indicator. I guess what I'm saying is I don't look at success vertically. I don't look at how tall our pile of people is and try to develop ways to keep piling people on top. I do have, however, a passion to reach people with the gospel of Christ. That's what God made me for. And that's way bigger than numbers. So what I want to present is that we begin to measure our success horizontally. I truly believe that living out our mission statement will allow us to do that. And I want to explain. We're going to start with the first sentence in the mission statement. It says, our mission at CBC is to show people how to connect with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So understand that as I talk about this mission statement, I want to talk about it in like a circular fashion. So understand that first, how it comes full circle. But we have to pick a starting point. So we're going to pick where we are, right here, the worship service. We have to see our worship service as a time to connect people to Jesus Christ through our various forms of worship. I want to tell you without question that every time we gather in this sanctuary, regardless of what I talk about, I'm going to present the gospel. Just know that. Just assume it. I promise to always do that. It doesn't matter what the topic is, I'm going to present the gospel. That's just how I'm made. So every week, we will show people how to connect with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a time to connect church leaders to new believers and visitors. You know, as Christians, we should be leaders, right? Shouldn't we be leaders? I think we should. And as leaders, our worship service is a time to make that initial connection with people that are seeking to begin that relationship with Christ, or maybe even to further that relationship. And our desire has to be to help others make that connection if they haven't already. Then we want to help them get plugged in where they can begin to grow. And here's what I'm saying. None of this can happen if you're not here, or you're late, or your head's not in the game. It just doesn't happen. And that's just the truth. So let's move on to the second sentence in the mission statement. It says, to help them grow their relationship with Christ as well as their relationship with others. Sunday school, along with our different other small groups, have to be the beginning of growth for new believers. That's the spot where those who are new to the church and new believers can come and connect with folks that maybe already have a little bit of experience. You know, these groups are fed by the activity of our worship service. You know, and in these small group settings, you get to know other people. You make friends. You kind of have a group to share life with. That's what they're designed for. And this is the environment that gives new believers a comfortable setting to become familiar with what the church is, with living the Christian life. It's a time for, as I said, for those who have been around for a while to mentor these folks. It opens the door for you to invest in someone else's life outside of these walls. It should be a safe place where we can learn from each other. We can grow in faith and knowledge with a group of friends. That's what it's for. The last sentence is this: then teach them how to serve God through service to others. As I've said before, I believe that serving is a key ingredient to growth. Knowledge is useless without action. If we want to develop future leaders, we have to provide an environment for them to serve. And these small service-oriented groups are going to be key to making that happen. And the plan is to develop these small groups within our Sunday school classes and Bible studies. You know, these are groups of whatever, 5 to 10 people with similar interests who come together under the direction of one leader to serve not only the church, but the community. And I want you to understand, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you're beginning to get nervous that what I'm suggesting is you take your entire Sunday school class and create a small serving group, that's not what I'm saying at all. Understand that as a Sunday school teacher, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a leader of a small serving group. That's not what I'm saying at all. I want these leaders of these small serving groups to be people who have a passion to serve others. And I want them to develop out of friendships that come about in Sunday school. So just because you're a Sunday school teacher doesn't mean that you have to be a small serving group leader. You can. I mean, if that's where God's leading you, you most definitely can. But it's not your responsibility, is what I'm trying to say. And I truly want these groups to be people who get along well together. What about the type of things that they do? I want you to think servant evangelism. Let people see the love of God through acts of service. These don't have to be big community projects. I truly believe this is something that every single one of us can be a part of, regardless of age. We just have to be creative. And I will guarantee you that if you're involved in one of these small serving groups and you keep the right attitude, you will see God work and you will grow spiritually. You will see God work through these small groups. You know, for me, I recognize that people want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. They want to know that they're making a difference in the life of someone else. We need to do these kinds of things. And we're going to talk more about it in the future. Just give me some time to continue to develop these ideas and to fully communicate the entire plan first. But if we go back to goals, let's talk about goals a little more. We're going to set goals and decide our success based on how we move people through this discipleship process laterally. So what does that mean? Let me try and make sense of that. We can have a goal that 90% of our morning worship service is a part of Sunday school. Then we can have a goal that 90% of our Sunday school is a part of a small serving group, so that we're judging how we move people through the process when we look at it as to whether or not it's being effective, not by how many people are here, because our goal is to create spiritually mature Christians through that discipleship process. So we have to measure that in a way that's understandable, that makes sense. You know, I hope that all of this stuff is beginning to make a little more sense for you. And I know I've probably reached that point where I've talked long enough and I need to begin to wrap it up, because I'm probably going to start losing people because you're getting tired of hearing me yap. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to wrap it up, I promise. But my challenge to all of you is this. This is my challenge this morning. Decide where you're going in regards to the direction that we're headed. Decide and move on. And accept whatever comes along with that decision. As I said earlier, you know, if you care about the direction of this church, stay for the business meeting. Voice your concern about the direction. Because I'm telling you, when it comes to the direction of this church, the complaint department here is coming to an end. I'm going to just tell you, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear complaints, especially not in regards to the direction when you're given the opportunity to address it the way it should be addressed. So, stay, sort it out, decide what direction you want to go, and stop complaining. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I ask that you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute, and I want to talk to you. You know, just like I promised you earlier, it doesn't matter what the topic is. If I'm standing in this pulpit, I'm going to present the gospel. And I hope that this is one thing that we can all agree on this morning. And that's without us taking the knowledge of Christ to the world, people are destined for hell. You can slice that up any way you want. But I want to tell you this. Our God has the ability to clearly communicate His message to every soul that has ever been on this earth. He can do that without us. But the reality is, He's chosen us to deliver that message. Each one of us has a responsibility. And a time will come when every ridiculous excuse will be stripped away. We'll stand before God and we'll receive those rewards that we then get the opportunity to lay at the feet of Jesus. I pray that it's not a time of loss for anybody here. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't quite understand what I'm talking about. If that's you, I need you to listen. Because I want you to know that the love of Jesus will totally change your life. It'll totally change your life if you let it. Jesus loved you so much that He was willing to die for you. The Bible says that every one of us have sinned. We violated God's law. And that sin separates us from God. The penalty for that sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And He didn't stop there, because 3 days later He rose from the grave, having conquered death. And the Bible says if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. You can know that you're saved from that hell and eternal separation. You can begin a relationship with Christ, and He'll lead you out of the sin in your life one step at a time. It may never be totally eliminated, but day by day, He'll lead you in a relationship that's closer to Him. Let's pray. Father, we come before You again, just as Your simple servants. We recognize, Lord, that we're nothing in comparison to You. You are the Creator. There's nothing that you're not capable of. You know, the love that You have shown us through Christ is just such... it's such an amazing and wonderful thing. You know, as in our world, sin and temptation are so widespread. Everywhere you look. But we also know that doesn't keep us from experiencing Your love right now today. Father, I ask that if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, this morning that You would wrap Your arms around that person and allow them to feel Your love right now. And for the rest of those here today, I ask that You would convict. I ask that You would convict them to be part of the body of Christ as You call. And Father, I ask that you inspire respect and honesty among this group. And I ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this altar is open to you. If there's something this morning that God has laid on your heart and something that you need to pray about, now's the time. Get it taken care of before you leave today. If you're somebody that doesn't know Christ, I would love to pray with you. I would love to talk with you, and we could talk about that a little further. You just have to let me know. But as for now, this altar is open to each of you.